Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, my loves. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Deandra Nicolette. If you're new here, welcome, my love. I'm so excited to have you tuned in for your first ever episode of Manifest Daily. And of course, to my OG listeners, y'all know the vibes. Okay, hey girl, hey, hey boy, hey, what's poppin', what's good? Welcome back to another episode of your fave. So my loves, we have another guest episode today, and I'm super excited for this one because I'm chatting with Haley Comet of Haley Comet Astrology. Now, I know we've been doing a lot of astrology episodes these days, and I think y'all are loving them as much as I am. I know the energy reports have been doing amazingly well on this show, and I remember being nervous about bringing back the energy reports because they're so niche. Astrology isn't something that everyone is interested in, but it's something that I am incredibly passionate about, and I'm incredibly passionate about learning more about astrology these days because I definitely consider myself very much more on the beginner side of things. But I'm super excited that y'all are just as interested in learning more about this as myself. There's this quote, I forget who the quote is from, but it's like, millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do, something like that. But basically, the whole quote is about the fact that astrology is really, really helpful as a tool in your life to help you map things out. So to understand cycles, to understand what are certain themes that are playing out in your life and how you can really take advantage of the timing of your life. At the end of the day, I do believe in a mix of destiny and free will. And I think astrology is like a beautiful way to mesh those two together. So y'all heard from a bunch of different astrologers on this show before. I know we've talked to Brittany Adams. We've talked to Julia Kelly in the past. We've also talked to Alice Bell recently. And today we're chatting with Haley Comet, and I'm super excited. This conversation was absolutely amazing. Another reason I enjoyed this conversation was because I've been watching Haley for literally the longest time on YouTube, and I love her videos. They are so in-depth. They are so amazing. She just has this like amazing energy to her. And so to be able to ask her to come on the show and to actually like be able to chat with her live was such a full circle and cool experience for myself. So I really hope that y'all feel that through the episode and really catch on to Haley's amazing, amazing personality and presence. I think you'll love her just as much as I do. I will obviously have all of her information down below as per usual when I have guests on the show, but I want to go ahead and dive into this episode. I'll let Haley do the introduction. I kind of want to let her do it herself this time because she has such a cool story of how she got her name and how she got started in astrology. So I want her to tell it with her own words. So go ahead, my loves, grab yourself a beverage of choice, maybe some water if you want to stay hydrated today. A little tequila if we try to start out, girl. I don't know. What the vibe is, you let me know, okay? You let me know what the vibe is right now. And let's go ahead and dive into today's episode with Haley Comet. Welcome to Manifest Daily. I'm super excited to have you on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing so well. I'm so happy to be here.
Yay! I am so glad that you're happy to be here. And let me just say, okay, it is a gloomy day here in Dallas, but as soon as we got on our call, I feel like the sun started to poke through and like show its face. So, you know, just a good omen all around. And I love that for us. But before we dive into all of our astro questions, I would love if you could do like a little bit of an intro. Tell us about who you are and what you do.
Absolutely. So hello, my name is Haley Comet. I'm an astrologer, and I always say that like astrology picked me, which is sort of dramatic, but It truly picked me when I was very, very young. My name was meant to be Shelby. And then I was like really, really late when my mom was like giving labor. Like I was meant to be an Aquarius, but I just held in there. I was like, I need to be a Pisces. I was born at the peak of the full moon. And the midwife was really into astrology and told my mom like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a full moon baby. Like literally full moon peaked at 6/11. I was born at 6/11. So my mom was like, oh, I have to name her something cosmic. And just she thought of Haley like the comet. It's not spelled correctly. We'll give her a break.
It's okay.
Yeah, we love it. It was last minute. So I'm like, okay. So just having that as my birth story, I was like, oh my gosh, what is astrology? Like ever since I was little, I was really into it. And so I got certified before I even graduated high school. So technically that was my first really degree or diploma or anything of that nature. It's my passion. It's my life's work. I'm so grateful that I get to be in a space where I get to do it as a career. It was always just my nerdy little hobby. And the type of astrology that I do and why I really love your content and your energy reports is because I think it's so important as we share these energy, like basically reports, forecasts, whatever you want to call it. I think it's so important to embed. Firstly, I love how fun you make yours. And that's like what I strive to do as well. Like I want it to be like a conversation, like this is what's happening with the planets. Like here's how you can prepare. And I don't want it to seem like this doom and gloom. I want you to know these astrological forces are happening and you can choose to co-create with it or lean into it or take advantage of these opportunities. I don't want it to be this scary, fearful thing. I think it's a tool to leverage, to live our best life. So I do strive to make my brand of astrology as empowering and as co-creative as possible.
I love that. And I love that you mentioned that it's a tool. I actually was having a conversation with another astrologer yesterday. It's an astrology focused week, okay? And
love it.
You know, we were talking about that, about how sometimes, especially when we talk about some of the bigger trends, it's like a Saturn return specifically. I am starting my return this year. And, you know, there's always this like conversation where people are like, oh my gosh, it's going to be the worst like couple years of your life. Strap in, get ready. And they make it seem like it's something to be afraid of versus, like you said, leaning into that energy. And of course, not everything is going to be ease and flow, but that challenge is meant for us to grow, right? And those moments are where we can kind of like show up and be like, okay, how can I actually allow myself to evolve in the face of this adversity? Or, you know, versus seeing it as something that's going to hinder me from achieving like my best or highest self.
100%. And it's like when it comes to Saturn returns, like I have so many clients who get married during Saturn returns, start hugely successful business Saturn, or like Saturn, we demonize it often, but I feel very grateful because my main astrology mentor is a 70-year-old man. And like whenever I would come to him freaking out about a transit, he's like, do you know that I've been through this like three times? Like with every transit, with every transit, we get wiser. So like you, after this Saturn return, like you are going to, you know, have this new like era of yourself and this new wisdom. So it is a rite of passage and some of it is a little bit more challenging, but I love aligning ourselves with it to be like, okay, how am I going to excavate the highest version of myself during this transit, during the Saturn return?
Yeah. And literally my best friend got married, had a baby during her return. So I'm like, you know what? I'm looking at her and I'm like, I love this for you. I love like just the transformation, like literally seeing her go from obviously being a woman, but like into another version of like womanhood is just amazing, beautiful. And it has me excited for what's going to happen in my return. Like granted, it's in my second house. Okay. I have Saturn in my second house. So It's giving where's the money? Let's get to this bag is the energy that I am showing up to my return with. So I'm super excited for it because of that reason. But you know.
Absolutely. And like, if you lean into it and just think of your finances in a very Saturnian way, like how am I going to, you know, set myself up? Because again, if we work with Saturn, it's foundation, it's stability, it's business, it's like, you know, everything that you are building and ensuring it's time honored. So I think you have the right attitude moving into it. Yes.
Yeah. And I watched, you had a video, was it a Saturn return video? I can't remember. I think it might've been. And you were talking about the different houses and the ways that this can play out in the different houses. And you said something along those lines that really had me think of it in that way. And so I was like, okay, you know, how can I actually get ahead of this, right? And start to get a better handle on my finances. Like, what does that look like? How do I actually start to create a more foundational financial, foundational financial foundation for my business and kind of make sure I'm setting things up correctly, like trademarking and LLC and all these different things. So I think you're right. It's how we approach it, is how we look at it. And instead of being super afraid, being like, let me actually lean into this and be productive about this and be, you know, just approach it in a very like adult like way, very a serious way, but still understanding that it's life and we get to have fun. And yeah. So I do want to get into a bit more of your past, because you mentioned obviously born on the full moon, you had, your mom had a midwife that was super into astrology. So how did that affect you growing up? Like, was your mom like really into, I guess, like the new and full moons, talked about astrology a lot? Like, how did you actually hone that interest a bit more to get to the point where you are now?
So what's actually so fascinating is that my parents are not into astrology at all. I truly think the universe just needed them to be a conduit for that in like that particular moment, because, you know, in that particular moment, obviously that was part of my birth story. And then it was like never really talked about, because my parents are very religious. And in my mind, I think when I think of God, I'm like, well, God created the planets, but I understand that, you know, there's a whole thought about it. So it's not necessarily their cup of tea necessarily. So it was, I literally think the universe was like, we just need them to temporarily be open to it so that we could share this birth story. And then that was it. And so when I kind of nurtured the, like, again, that birth story was told to me. So I was like, there's got to be something there. Like, I was like, what, out of all the times we've born, why did I hang in there waiting for the full moon? Like, there's got to be something there. So I dove into understanding the lunar cycles, into understanding how a lunar cycle really impacts a chart, which I feel like, isn't that talked about? And I think it's so important. I'm like, okay, you know your moon sign, but do you know your moon phase? Like, it's a deeply important part to your chart that we don't often talk about. But so that I kind of was my nerdy little passion. I would read anything that I could get my hands on about astrology. There was this computer game called Astro Girls. Oh, RIP Astro Girls. It was so fun. And like, that was what I would do when I was like 8 years old. Like every sign had this like cute little outfit. Like the Pisces girl had pink hair and this like blue bodysuit. Oh, she was so fabulous.
I love it. So, it's giving Sims, but like astrology Sims. Is that the vibe? Oh, okay. Love that.
It's the vibe. It's the vibe. And they were all so fun. They had their little games. It was just like, when I look back, it's like all of these threads of why, like even when I was on my school newspaper, I did the horoscope section. I was just like, there's all these threads of it. And I don't know if you felt this to be true within your case, but I feel a lot of times when we're younger, we know our passions. Like we know what it is that we are meant to do. Oftentimes when we get older, we can get like off track about it. Like sometimes when you think back to, oh, I used to love, you know, playing with a camera, like no wonder I want to be in front of a camera or however, sometimes mm-hmm. there's little threads of like us knowing our purpose. And so I'm thankful that I've been able to hold on to that part of me that was always fascinated by the stars and the cosmos. I never once thought I would do it as a career. I don't know if you've observed this, but the dialogue around astrology has changed so much. Oh my gosh. Like I didn't even talk about it in high school or anything because it was nerdy. And now people are like, what's your big three? What, like, it's so cool how popular it's gotten, which is amazing. Yeah. So I'm very grateful for that because I didn't think I could do it as a career. It was just nerdy little passion. And then when I was in college, I always joke that I essentially minored in astrology because I lived in a house with like a ton of other girls. So I would read everybody's charts who I could get my hands on. I would read charts just to be able to afford food for the weekend. So I was just reading. And then after I got out of college, finally, I was like, my mentor always told me, he's like, after you read 2000 charts, that is the rite of passage until that you can start, you know, charging or stepping into it. So I was like, okay, universe, I'm going to, you know, put myself out there. And if I'm meant to be doing this work, like meet me halfway. And if not, it's fine. I'll shift paths. And so far it's been really lovely. So I'm very, very grateful.
Oh my God, I love that. And I love that you talked about like childhood and how that plays into this, right? Because a lot of times, you know, people will ask like, how do you figure out what your passion is? Or how do you figure out what your purpose is? And I think you're exactly right. Like looking back to what fueled you and lit you up in childhood. And I think sometimes too, when we're growing up, especially as children, if we don't have maybe caretakers who want to encourage a certain passion of ours, we can kind of pull away from it because we're like, oh, you know, I don't want to be judged for this, or there's no money in this work or whatever. But I love that you like literally kept going with it and you made that path for yourself, right? You co-created with the universe. You were like, I'm going to do what I can control over here. Meet me halfway and like, let's see how this goes. And here we are.
Yes. And it's like, it's so fascinating because it comes up quite often when I'm reading charts. It's all like, tell people when I look at their chart, I'm like, there is such a gift. Like you are a storyteller, or like you are, you know, this, you have this artistic lens. And so often people are like, oh my gosh, I used to actually love to write stories when I was younger. Or it's like certain things that they're like, oh, I forgot that lives within me. And like me as an objective observer of their birth chart, I'm like, nurture that. That's what you're here to do. Nurture that talent that you know is within you. But oftentimes we talk ourselves out of it. It's not realistic. It's not what have you. And it's like, it's just so important to nurture those talents and abilities. Because when you look at a chart, it's like, but what if I told you it's like the exact magic that you are here to give to this planet? Like, would you nurture it then?
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And then also to another thing to remember is that it doesn't always have to be so literal as well. Because I remember when I was younger, I used to love playing like teachers. I would set up my stuffed animals in the room and like teach them all the different things. And let me tell you, there was a lot of drama at my school. Okay, all the little stuffed animals, they were hooking up and doing this and the other. It was messy. But I was there. I was the objective teacher and I was teaching these students. Okay. And now it's like I love teaching, and it's not that I, you know, see myself going into like an elementary school or a middle school or even a high school to teach, but it's like through my podcast, I feel like I'm teaching. It's just in a different way. So even as you talk about someone who's like a storyteller or maybe a writer, an artist, it's like, what does that look like for you now? Like, how could you align yourself with that specific magic and talent in maybe, again, not so literal way? An artist doesn't mean you have to sit there and paint or draw. Like you can create art in different ways. So I love that you bring that up. And I think that is definitely amazing. We have to like coordinate a reading for me, okay? Because now I'm like, I need to get a reading by you done because you got to tell me some things, okay?
Me sitting here, I'm like trying to figure out your signs like so badly. I'm like, what are the signs? I'm so curious.
Wait, okay, so I am a Taurus sun, Cancer moon, Aquarius rising.
Love it. Okay, I was like, yeah. I'm feeling some air. The Aquarius rising shines so brightly through the way that you do your content. Oh, love it.
Oh, and Mercury and Gemini. Also,
that may
also have something to do with it as well. But yeah. So I want to tap into, you kind of touched on this a bit about like the benefit of astrology, right? And the way that we can use astrology as a tool. So what are some of those benefits that you find, you know, even in like your everyday life or with clients that you encourage them to use astrology as a tool in their life?
Yes. So one of my favorite ways to use astrology outside of kind of unlocking your talents and abilities, you can kind of like nurture those passions. Also, timing is such a beautiful usage of it in that when we tap into our transits, we can understand like certain cycles that we are in. So it's like, why would I prioritize this year towards like hustling and trying to find my soulmate when it's such a powerful business year that I could like really set up the foundation of what it is that I'm building? And when I relay that sort of information, sometimes it gives us that validation that we need, because we can be stuck in indecision around, oh, should I do this? It's going to be successful. But knowing that the cosmos is meeting you halfway, it's like, hey, Jupiter's in your second house. Like, this is the time to be open to different streams of revenue to find you. Then it kind of just gives us that push to be like, okay, this will be the year that I will, you know, set up that business. Or let's say, and it's fascinating because oftentimes vibrationally, like astrology is something vibrational, like we can feel it. Like, I'm just here to validate what it is that you could or intuitively already know, like feeling within your own cycles. Like, I don't know if you've experienced that just with, you know, numerology, astrology, you're just like, yes, I've already been feeling that, and I'm leaning into it. And it just kind of gives this objective third party that kind of like bolsters that. So I think it's brilliant for timing. I mean, I think it's really, it helps us feel a little bit more confident when we launch something for business timing or, you know, saying like, I've had so many clients who've come to me and they're having all this like summer love vibe this year. Ooh. And I'm like, if you do not prioritize, like if you are not out on the town looking cute, like finding your soulmate, like, you know, and it gives us that space to be like, okay, this summer is really opportune for romance. Why would I like force my way upstream with something? It's like, I think of it as this delicate dance and this delicate flow around understanding and aligning. Like, why would I hustle and force when there is this gentle flow of where it is that the cosmos want to take me. Like, I just think it's a smarter way of utilizing your energy and bucketing your energy towards where it'll be the most supportive. And magic occurs when you align with the cosmos, I'm telling you.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's such a beautiful way to put it, right? Because it's like we have that free will and we can do anything at any time. But like you said, if you want to be more efficient, work a little smarter, tap into some of that magic, it's like, let's see what the timing is in your chart and what's happening and like align with that if it makes sense for you. But I want to go back a second and just kind of have a little bit of a definition here for us, for anyone listening. What are transits exactly?
Yes, great question. So essentially, you have your blueprint, which is basically the screenshot. You can think of it, snapshot of the sky at the moment that you were born. That'll never change. That is your past, present, future. That is all the bad habits that you've left in your past, all of the themes you're working with currently, and all of the talents that you will excavate in your future. It tells you so much. If you're trying to understand what in the year 2023, what you should bucket your energy towards or what is happening, you would look towards transit. So what transits are is the current cosmos and how that is interacting with your blueprint. So where the planets are essentially aspecting your planets, essentially making conversations with your planets, represents certain themes that'll come to the surface within your world. And the houses are the life arenas that it is transiting. So I just want you to think of transits as just basically where the cosmos now are interacting with that blueprint, representing certain challenges and blessings ahead within our year and how it is that we can, you know, navigate with it. So one thing I just want to share, because I did notice that you're a Taurus sun and Aquarius rising. And for anyone else who's listening, who has a lot of fixed energy, so I'm just going to repeat those signs, Tauruses, Leos, Scorpios, and Aquarians. I just want to let you know, 2023, you guys are coming out of a major cycle for the last, you guys have been under it for the last 2.5 years. I'm so excited for the fixed signs, literally, because it's been really, you know, challenging. I know you're moving into your Saturn return, but I will highlight, like, you know, fixed signs have had Saturn in their modality. They've had nodes in their modality. They've been asked to do a lot of work. And I'm real excited for them in 2023 because it's about peace. It's about integration. It's about rebuilding, building stronger. So attuning to those cycles oftentimes. So if you've been going through the last 2.5 years and you're a fixed sign out there, just understanding, oh, that's why. Like Saturn was having me do this work and understanding that you're moving into a cycle, which I also feel can be sort of healing. And it could be validating for what it is that you're moving through and healing to be like, okay, there is an end date. Like there is a time when it won't feel like it does right now.
And that heaviness kind of eases up a little bit. But I'm super curious for, you know, all of the fixed signs, like you said, as we're sort of moving into a bit more ease, what does that then mean though, for those of us that are going to experience something like a Saturn return? Is it that things ease up and then they become a bit more challenging? Is it that if you prepare well for your Saturn return, you know, it's not as challenging? I guess, what does that look like then?
Yes, great question. So when it comes to the energy of Saturn, it can be very positive. As we highlighted earlier, it's about responsibility, it's about maturity, it's about essentially up-leveling your life, right? Particularly if it's your Saturn return. If it's a Saturn aspect, so essentially now Saturn is entering Pisces, which is going to mostly impact my Gemini loves, Virgo loves, Sagittarius loves, and Pisces loves, you guys are being called upon to do this Saturn work, which is essentially, it's about leaning into the challenges that are coming up, essentially reaping what it is that you have sown, again, which can be in beautiful ways or more harsh ways. I will say, if you're fixed dominant and you're moving into another Saturn transit, there is going to be, I will just highlight, you know, for you, a Taurus sun, Jupiter enters Taurus at the end of the year. So my Tauruses are moving into a lucky period, which is nice. So you're going to feel that.
Thank God.
Yes. And you guys deserve it.
I'm excited. My God. Please.
And how I like to think of it, if you've already been doing a lot of Saturn work and you see, you're like, okay, Saturn aspected my sun, Saturn aspected my ascendant, and now Saturn's coming from Mercury. I want you to think of yourself as like a Saturn expert at this point. Like I think of it as life school in that you are doing the Saturn work, but the more Saturn transits you get under your belt, the more well-versed you get with the energy around understanding, okay, I see you Saturn. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to lean in. I'm going to be really intentional with my actions. Because again, I don't want us to fear the cosmos. That's why I'm really passionate about communicating about it in the way that I do. But I do think with Saturn, you don't have to fear Saturn. You don't have to like Saturn, but you must respect Saturn.
Yes. Yeah.
Responsibility. So just understanding,
if you know that Saturn's on the horizon, understanding, okay, let me make sure I'm not doing anything shady. Like, if I didn't want everybody to know about this, let me make sure. That's why harsh Saturn transits are typically when politicians get like their stuff exposed. Like, Saturn will expose you if you've been doing shady stuff. So I always say, if you're moving into Saturn transit, just keep it cute. Keep it clean.
Mm-hmm. Keep it classy, please.
Mm-hmm. Keep it classy. Keep it classy. Because Saturn's coming. So you can work with it or work against it. But I don't recommend making... Yeah, I was just going to say, I do not recommend making Saturn an enemy out of all the planets. Work with it, trust me.
Yeah, and I love that. My focus word for 2023 is discipline, and I think that it is very fitting, very, very fitting. Yes. So it's also a personal year 8 for me in numerology. So I don't know if you're familiar. I've been watching a ton of videos on like personal years and personal year 8s. And I know it's like, you know, a lot about like, again, the karma, the hard work, a lot of like business, that kind of stuff. So yeah, very fitting to have the word discipline for this year. But I would love to chat about some of these major transits that are happening in 2023. I know you did a specific video on it, which I will remember editing. DeAndre, remember to link this in the show notes because that video was amazing. I think that's the one I commented on too to invite you onto the podcast. But I would love to know, so like, what are some of the major transits that we need to be aware of that are happening in 2023? And like, what is this overall energy of 2023? If you could sum it up in like maybe one or two or three words.
Okay, so the overall energy that I would dial in is initiation, kind of an intense word. I'll expand on it in a moment. Initiation, patience, and foundation. Those are the words that I would pick. And I'll expand on these. So initiation sounds very intense, but I'm going to describe why. So we are having, in March 2023, we are having Pluto enter Aquarius. And this is, it's not there all year. It literally gets into Aquarius and it's like, wait, never mind. It goes back into Capricorn, but it'll continue next year. And I just want to highlight, we as humans will not experience Pluto in every single sign. Pluto moves so slowly that we will only experience Pluto in a handful of signs. So if you chose, I do believe that we picked our charts to a certain extent for the lessons that we are here to learn or what have you. If you have Aquarius placements, you are having a Pluto transit. And I've had a lot of Aquarius placements who are like, oh my gosh, that seems intense. And I want us to reframe, like, okay, you were picked by Pluto. Like, you came here to have an Aquarius placement in order to have this Pluto transit, which to a larger extent is helping us usher humanity into the next era, which sounds intense, but truly the Aquarius placements during this time. And again, this transit will occur until 2044. So it's a 2-decade long thing. So it's not like you guys, all the Aquarius risings out there, all the Aquarius suns, things of that nature are going to wake up on March 7, 2023 and be like, oh my gosh, it's time.
This is
but
it.
I will, this is it. This is what we came for. But it's a 2-decade long period of essentially the energy of Aquarius is about innovation. It's about essentially power to the people. It's about ushering humanity into the next era. And so to an individual level, Aquarius placements are being picked to essentially be the leaders or to help usher us into this new time. And also just societally, there is this focus upon innovation. I will just say, Pluto and Aquarius, whenever I tap into this energy, it just feels like there is going to be so many developments and innovations during this time that of things that were like, you know, our children will be like, I can't believe you did life without that. Like, I really think we're moving into major scientific technological innovation. Like last time Pluto's in Aquarius, it was the first time that you were able to purchase flushing toilets. Like, think about how interwoven that is into our experience. Like, flushing toilets, like, that's everywhere that you go. So I think we're moving into a ton of a lot of innovation like that. And with Pluto and Aquarius, you know, I don't want to sugarcoat it. I think to be able to, because Pluto is moving from Capricorn, which is the archetype, again, not coming for Capricorns, but it's the archetype of big business, of essentially government, of authority, of the status quo. Like, Pluto is moving from Capricorn to Aquarius. So I do believe in an archetypal sense, power is moving to the people, humanity, right? And I think it's that's why I chose the word initiation, because it's almost like we're getting a preview to those themes in 2023. Again, we're doing this work until 2044. We better go comfy with Pluto and Aquarius. But it's sort of like a foreshadow around the work that we are going to be asked to do and how it is that we are being asked to kind of unite together to build the world that we want, which is important with Pluto in Aquarius. So that is why I picked initiation. And then foundation, good things come to those who work this year. When it comes to the astrology of the matter, we do have some supportive influences. We have Jupiter sextile Saturn, which is nice. So they're kind of like helping one another. And I love that your word of the year is discipline, because I'm telling you, just with Jupiter entering Taurus later this year, this is slow and steady growth. With Jupiter sextile Saturn, it's like Jupiter is expansion and growth. Saturn is slow and steady. Like, I am telling you, my loves, like, whether it is, you know, halfway through the year, beginning of the year, in 2023, just lean into this influence around slow and steady is how your success will come your way. Okay, so it really is about to get to the dreams that you want. It's about the work that you've been avoiding. Like, you know, I do believe that things can be a flow, but just with this energy of slow and steady, it's essentially asking us to just kind of show up consistently and allow that momentum to put you in a more positive direction. Like, you know, it really is about discipline. So I love that is your word of the year. Mm-hmm. Super, super powerful.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, what you mentioned about like the slow and steady, and obviously, you know, that relation to Taurus as well, you know, it can be very easy, especially in the world that we live in today, for people to want things to happen very quickly, especially when it looks like it happens quickly for others. Or at least that's just kind of what I tend to see when I, you know, on social media, of course. And it is, you have to remember, like, obviously you're not seeing all the things, you're not seeing maybe the hard work behind the scenes, you're not seeing certain privileges that someone may have been awarded. So it's easy to come to your own conclusions and assumptions of how they got to where they got to. But I truly just love that mention of discipline and consistency, because the way that I see it is like, if you continue to put in the work, right, and you're continuing to be consistent and disciplined, as long as you're moving forward, you're moving forward. Okay. It might take you a couple of years, it might take you a couple of decades, but like, if you're truly committed to that thing, you will get to where you need to be in the time you need to get there. So that's it, period. But then it is something I have to remind myself all the time. But yeah.
Oh my gosh. Especially just in everything that you see, just like, yeah, social media and like overnight successes and things of that nature. And I just want to highlight, and this might be especially because, you know, you're coming out of Saturn transit, moving into your Saturn return, like Saturn is the planet of time. And it's like, when it comes to what it is that we think we want that end result, but the human nature is desiring. So it's like, like, I'm sure there's certain things like within your life, like this podcast or other goals within our life that it's like, we used to want it. And then as soon as we hit that number around, as soon as I have that, it's like a brand new goal emerges. Like, we have to enjoy the ascent, because we think if only I had that, like if I had that tomorrow, I'd be so happy. But it's like, it's not only about just ascending to that goal, it's also the who you have to be to get there. And it's so much more sweeter when you get to the top of that mountain, knowing you took yourself there, you showed up. Like, it makes the reward so much sweeter. And that's why, like, with this year's astrology, like, I just feel like there's so much, especially with the earlier part of the year, like with Jupiter and Aries, the earlier part of the year, Jupiter will be in Aries. The last part of the year, Jupiter will be in Taurus. The prior part, if anybody is listening to this and they know that they have something within them, they're like, I have this business within me. I have this book within me. I have this thing within me. I'm scared. Just with Jupiter and Aries, it's like this fearless code around initiation, putting things out there. And I really want to highlight this because it feels like the first part of the year, it's about putting it out there. All planets are direct until April 2023. So putting things out there, and then with Jupiter in Taurus, sustaining it. I just don't want people to feel like, okay, I had this burst of motivation. I want to start this podcast. I want to start this, you know, what have you. Why isn't this happening faster? Like it with Jupiter in Taurus, it's asking, can you sustain that excitement? Can you sustain it? So I just want to highlight, if you have it within you, put it out there, but also understand there will need to be some consistency towards supporting that vision.
Yeah. And especially if you're hoping to build something with a strong foundation and something long lasting and long term, like, you want to take your time creating this thing. Like, you want it to be sturdy. You want it to be able to last. Like, if you build it, you know, very, very quickly, and it's sort of like, almost like the vibe of like 50 minutes of fame. It's like, it just gives fleeting energy. Like it comes in, it goes out just as quick as it came in. And I don't, that's not personally what I want. So whenever I do have those moments where I'm like, oh my God, like why isn't this happening? Whatever, you know, I have to remind myself of that. And another thing that I love that you mentioned is this idea of like, we have this goal or whatever, but when we get there, we are looking for that next goalpost. It does shift, it does move it, you know, and that's good. We're always working towards something, right? And we're always challenging ourselves, but it is important, and I always have to remind myself of this, but to really celebrate that success. Because where I am now with like even this podcast, I kid you not, like, you know, this is year four. When I first started, it was me, my mom, and Monica listening. It was the three of us. And I would listen several times to try to run the numbers up, and they didn't run up because it was just me listening on like the same phone. But it's like now, it's like each month is like hundreds of thousands of people tuning in. So to go from that to where I am now, it's like, sometimes I gotta pause and be like, okay, yeah, I want the millions and this and that, but let's celebrate where we are now, because imagine just years ago, it was like three people and now look at where we are. So I think that's just a beautiful reminder too.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. And just to be so proud of yourself for showing up, even when only three people were listening. Like, I think that version of yourself to show up, have the discipline, and you honed your craft. And that's why you're able to sustain it. Like, when it comes to 15 minutes of fame or anything of the nature, like my chart, I'm very Saturnian. I have Saturn right on my sun. So my mentor would always say, he's like, when you are working with a impacted Saturn, like, you know, fear when things happen too fast. Like the codes that you have, if you have a strong Saturn within your chart, which PS in traditional astrology, you would be ruled by Saturn. In modern, you'd be ruled by Uranus. But anyways,
I will take a Saturn.
Okay. Love it. Yes. I'm a traditional astrologer, so I would say Saturn. But he would always say, he's like, fear when things happen too fast. Cause like you have longevity codes within you, and it's like, you kind of have to earn your success versus kind of like flash in a pan. It's like, you know, when lottery winners win and they get all this money, but they don't know how to sustain it. They haven't like worked up to that vibrationally. I think the same can be said about anything that we want to build. So this year, slow and steady, my loves, does it have that vision? Cause with Saturn in Pisces, it is about putting our dreams to work. Like Pisces is about the ethereal spiritual realm. So it is about making what it is you daydream about a reality. But I won't lie, when it's a Saturnian sort of year, it's going to take work. It's going to take effort. And that's okay. It's okay. It's an unfurling of what it is that you are here to do. So not demonizing the Saturn work.
Yeah. And not demonizing work in general. Like I don't know where this new discourse of like everything has to be easy came from, but hard work and working hard, being disciplined, being committed, like having challenge, it's a good thing. And maybe it's that Saturn energy, but like, I completely believe in that. So as you're saying, like slow and steady, and you're like, you know, we got to, I'm like, yes. Yes. Sign me up. I don't always love it, but sign me up. Sign me up. Good things come from that. So yeah.
100%. Because that discourse is very rampant. Because I do believe when it comes to manifestation, like I do believe following where it is that we do feel this sensation of like ease or excitement or actualization. But oftentimes, especially this year, it's like you have that vision, you have that dream, and it's like you need to excavate those versions of yourself out of you. But yeah, maybe this is just us being very Saturnian.
Maybe. And people will be like, no. That's the vibe around here, okay? So if you don't like it, maybe it's not the place for you. So yes, I'm glad we're on the same page with this. So glad. Mm-hmm. But I would love to talk a bit about some of the personal transits. So what are some personal transits that we should be aware of in our lives? Obviously, we've talked about Saturn return for a bit. So that's a huge one. I think you mentioned Pluto return, or would Pluto going into Aquarius be someone's Pluto return if they have Pluto in Aquarius, right?
Yes, but no one would be alive, because last time Pluto was in Aquarius was 1776. Unless they are.
RIP. Then... Okay. Kidding, guys.
But I will say, who did have a Pluto return was the country of the United States last year, had their Pluto return. And essentially, yeah, it more so has to do with like countries and things of that nature. But absolutely, you know, countries and places have Pluto return. Who knows where science will be? Maybe one day we'll have Pluto returns if we live that long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't think I'd want to live that long, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, it's just giving chaotic.
I've seen what I've needed to see. Good. Thank you.
I'm going to head out now, grabbing my bags. Bye. No, but seriously, though.
the best transits that I would say to look out for, I want everybody to look at their chart. And I want everybody to pay attention to where Jupiter is transiting. I'll mention the signs in a moment, where Saturn is transiting, and where the nodes are transiting. Because from year to year, for a personal perspective, that is where your challenges and your efforts and your growth are the most concentrated. So firstly, I want everyone to find the Aries portion of their chart and the Taurus portion of your chart. So you'll have to look at a circle chart for this and look at the outer symbols, and you'll want to find the Aries symbol and the Taurus symbol. And essentially, it'll govern a particular house. They look like little pieces of pizza. Look at the little numbers on the inner ring. So those are the life arenas. So if you see, okay, I see that Aries symbol on the outside of my second house, that means Jupiter will be in your second house. Jupiter is the energy of growth and gain. So wherever it is that you have Aries and Taurus, co-create with the cosmos and be like, okay, because Jupiter is expansion, it's growth, it's luck. So let's say Jupiter's in third house and you're like, oh my gosh, I've been wanting to start posting on TikTok, or I've been wanting to start a podcast. Understand that it's going to be a little bit quicker to manifest in that arena. And let's say, you know, Jupiter is in your 10th house, understanding it's more, you know, aligned as it relates to career endeavors. Jupiter, let's say, is transiting your 7th house. It's more aligned as it relates to relationships. Jupiter is ease, growth, and luck. So you can co-create with it by putting in some effort to be like, okay, cosmos, if you're bringing me blessings in this area, how am I going to align myself with it? Because I always joke, I'm like, you can't just stay in your bedroom and think that, you know, the Jupiter in 11th house energy is going to find you. Like, 11th house is friendship. So it's like, if you know that you have this expansive energy in friendships, you have to, you know, put a little effort in, but just know that the cosmos will bring you really aligned friendships. Like, Jupiter is just where we could experience major blessings, major growth. So aligning ourselves to be like, okay, how is it that I want to consciously expand my intuitive abilities if Jupiter is in my 12th house, so on and so forth. So looking at the Aries and the Taurus portion of your chart in the year 2023, next year it'll be in Taurus and Gemini. So lucky territories of your chart. And then the Pisces territory of your chart is where it is that you're going to have to put in this little work that we're talking about, our Saturnian chat over here. With Saturn, you could experience some challenges within that arena. But again, foundational challenges, thinking long-term around who is it that I want to be? How is it that I want to show up as? And how can I build the foundation of my life to align myself with it? So like, let's say someone has Saturn, you see that Pisces symbol on the outside of your second house, like understanding, okay, maybe I shouldn't go do this get rich quick scheme or say yes to doing this scam. Like, let me think long-term.
Not the PPP loan scams coming back. Oh my God.
That's karma. So it's like, I really would like encourage when it comes to Saturn, it's like, think, okay, before I take this PPP loan and I don't, you know, I don't necessarily need it or what have you, like, I don't want to scare anybody. But with Saturn, just thinking, what could come of this? What ramifications? And how do I set myself up as soundly as possible?
The mention of Jupiter in Aries, I believe, minus third house. So it's fitting with the podcast. Mm-hmm. I know. I was just like, yes. Like, it almost at first was kind of like, okay, this isn't as exciting as I like want it to be. But I'm like, no, it's actually, I think it is exciting enough. So I love that. And I also want to say for anyone that, you know, wants like an easy way to look at this, I was recently put onto the Chani app, and it has like that circle chart. You don't have to pay for the app to see it. And it does have a really good visual where you can see exactly what we talked about. So like those pizza slices, the numbers, and then it has the symbols of the signs and then the actual names, just in case you're not good with the symbols. So you can see like, okay, you know, what's ruling what house. And then if you're curious about what house, you know, what the house number represents, just a quick Google. So like astrology, third house, what does it, you know, rule or what does it represent? And that's usually kind of Googling your way through it and figuring it out that way is super, super helpful. So I love your breakdown of that as well. Thank you.
Absolutely. And just thinking the Aries and Taurus portion, think growth, gain, abundance, expansion. So Jupiter in the third house, sharing your voice, like with Jupiter in the third, whenever I have clients who have Jupiter in the third, typically there's a big uptick when it comes to their stats, as well as putting out really, really great content, which is really nice with Jupiter in third house. And so so I'm excited for you. Love that. And then with the Saturn, just understanding no fear, but just looking at that arena and saying, okay, how can I set this up to really withstand the test of time, right? So if someone has Pisces in their seventh house, it's not that you're going to go through a breakup, but it is asking, are you and your partner aligned? Is this connection built to last? Because I'll tell you something about Saturn. Saturn will not take away anything that is meant for you. Like Saturn essentially just kind of tests the different foundations of our life to be like, what is built to last? And it's really fascinating, just kind of loop it back to the Saturn return. So anybody who looks at their chart and they see that they have natally Saturn in Pisces within their birth chart. So if you're around 28, 29, 30 years old, and you see that within your chart, you're undergoing, like you are, your Saturn return. And when it comes to Saturn return, oftentimes when I meet with clients before, you know, they can be like, oh my gosh, my life is falling apart. I lost this job and this relationship fell apart and things of that nature. Again, no fear. But then I talk to them a year later and Saturn just like, whoop, and put them right back into their better timeline. Like, oh, I broke up with this person who didn't have a car and I'd like drive him around. And then I met my husband, like anything of that nature. Like it does sort of take away what is not meant for us. And it's not mean. It does require patience, but oftentimes at the other side of that, it's like, wouldn't you want your life to be on the best possible timeline with who it is that you're meant to be? So I just want to say, if anybody's looking at Saturn and Pisces, where it is in their chart, and they're like, like it's in this arena, I don't want to like, you know, lose something in this arena. Saturn will not take anything from you that is not meant for you. And I know that's sometimes challenging when you're in the thick of it, but it's just so fascinating being an astrologer and getting to talk to people after. And they're like, now I got a baby, two dogs, a house. Thank you, Saturn. But in the thick of it, it can be kind of challenging. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a beautiful transition there, because I did have a couple of questions about Saturn and you answered actually most of them. But, you know, to sum it up, what you're saying is like, as you're going through your Saturn return, it's sort of like you're going through a period of just the testing, right? Of testing the foundations of things that are not necessarily aligned with the long-term plan or your destiny, fate, if you believe in that or whatever, those things being removed and replaced with things that are better aligned for you and, you know, are going to help you in sort of the next coming chapters is what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like with Saturn's test, like the brand of, you know, Saturn's test that it gives is that, you know, Saturn is that professor. It's that teacher who does not round your grade. Like Saturn makes you put in the work. It makes you study. It makes you do all these things, but it will give you a reward at the end. Like he will give you that A, like it will be better at the end, but it could be harder because you'll be studying harder than you have before or working harder or being like, oh, I thought I could pass this test, but this arena of my life wasn't actually built to last. But Saturn, it's harsh, but it's not cruel. It will set you up at a better foundation so long as you lean in to the test that it's offering.
Yeah. I'm trying to not lean into the fear. Okay. We've talked about this. Yes. I'm doing my best because again, mine is second house. So it's very much, you know, it's a little scary to think about, but again, also good to think about the foundations that I'm setting up at this moment. So yeah. When I decided to audit my wellness routine and implement changes, one of the first things I looked at was my supplements. I wanted to simplify my daily supplements, so I decided to try AG1. And let me just say, this was one of the best decisions that I made in 2023. Not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I also love that every single scoop includes folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support. Since drinking AG1 daily, I've noticed that I feel more energized and my mental clarity and my ability to manage and recover from stress have improved. I used to rely on a ton of different supplements. If y'all remember my little pill box, then you know, okay? And I use these supplements to help me feel calm and more alert, but I just love how simplified my morning routine has become with AG1. Adding AG1 in the morning covers my bases with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and ingredients like pre- and probiotics, adaptogens, antioxidants, and nutrients sourced from whole foods. Let me just tell y'all what my favorite part of this entire thing is. You only need to take one scoop. Literally one scoop a day, every single day, mixed with water. That is it. It's giving very much work smarter, not harder, even with what you put in your body. AG1 is the supplement that I trust and have trusted since 2023 to provide the support that my body needs daily. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. That's drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. Check it out. Lately, life as a 29-year-old woman has been a crazy whirlwind of deadlines, social events, and trying to maintain some semblance of balance. But you know what's always going to throw me for a loop every single time? Mood swings, the bloating, the sleepless nights that can take a toll on you at any point in your cycle. This is where Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth comes in to help me feel more balanced, especially when I'm battling those monthly sleepless nights or dealing with the annoying bloating. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And if you don't know, adaptogens can help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Any woman dealing with symptoms like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or even occasional bloating and gas can take this. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is committed to using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromises when it comes to the quality of their products, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MANIFESTDAILY at checkout. Here's to feeling more balanced, rested, and ready to conquer anything and everything that comes our way.
Yes. And may I just tell you this, because I think this might give you a little bit of peace. And anybody else who notices that they have Saturn return in the second house, my favorite client example, and I have permission to share this because this is one of my favorite stories. So one of my clients had her second return in the second house. Obviously, the second house is just one that obviously prompts a lot of fear. It's the house of money, obviously, possession, self-esteem. And moving towards it, obviously, there was like a lot of anxiety. And I was like, honestly, this can be an amaze, because she was in a space where she did feel that she was being very, very underpaid and undervalued in many arenas of her life, like in her relationship and her job and all of these things. So she set up during this time, this consultancy like business. So she was in a particular job, was being underpaid, set up this consulting business during her Saturn return in the second house. And I just said, go slow. You know, so the first year, I think she made 40,000. The second year she made 400, wait, I'm always bad with numbers, but 480,000. So 480,000. And then the next year she had a team of 15 and she had this huge business consultancy business. I'm telling you. And that was like during her Saturn return. So the first year was like, it took some time, but it was like, she really, so with Saturn return, it can be this amazing time of like really up leveling. It will have you work around, okay, she had to get all of her LLC, all of that stuff. And the first year, you know, it wasn't, it, I think it was less than what she was making, but it's like she was building a more powerful foundation to get to her financial goals. So as will you, I have utter faith. Yeah.
Well, thank you. No. And that's such a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing. And I think those stories are always super helpful too, because it just kind of helps you to see the possibilities, right? And helps you to see what is out there. Because sometimes when you're in the thick of it or looking at it from your own perspective and what you've seen in your life around you, certain things don't seem possible. Like you want to believe they are, but you need, you know, hear an example. And I think that is absolutely amazing. I am doing a lot of the foundational things and it is very scary because it's a lot of money going out to do a lot of these things and not really a lot coming in. And so it's sort of like having to have that faith of everything that I'm putting into this, it will kind of come back when it's time for it to come back. So thank you so much for sharing and congrats to your client. That is literally amazing. So yeah.
Yes. We need more Saturn return success stories out there. I'm telling you, we need to put them out there because I just have so many. And it's like, I feel very grateful. I don't know if it's because my chart is very Saturnian, but I feel very grateful. As I highlighted, my astrology mentor, much older than me. So like he would always, I think there's, you know, a certain sort of experience that comes from having this under your belt, and like him being able to tell me like kind of what transpired for him. Like, I feel like we demonize what we don't know. And oftentimes if we are really avoiding these Saturnian themes, like, yes, it does make us grow up. It does make us, you know, adult. It does make us do these things, but like understanding that we earn that wisdom because we've kind of like worked for it. So we can co-create with it. So no fear about Saturn return. I'm over it.
No fear. We're here for it. We're inviting it. We're excited for it. And all good things. All good things. So I want to head into like the last section of our conversation, and it is about systems. And I specifically wanted to talk about the difference between whole house or whole sign system and Placidus, because on your videos, you mentioned this. Pretty much every video you say that you use Placidus, and you talk about how someone can sort of find where a certain planet is transiting in their chart based on, you know, the system that you use. But if they don't use that, they can just do like rising sign and figure that out as well. But what is the difference between those two? And I kind of want to also ask you, why do you use Placidus versus whole sign system?
Great question. And I think it's super, super important to kind of dial into. So the difference of it is that when you look at your chart, you'll see on the left-hand side, it says AC or rising or ascendant. What that means is that's the sector of the sky that was rising in the east at the moment that you were born. So let's say you were born around dawn, you'll see that the sun will be in that sector because the sun rises in the east. If you're born at noon, it will be at the top of your chart. If you're born at sunset, it'll be setting in the west. It's essentially just a snapshot of what was rising in the east, what was setting in the west, and the highest portion of the sky. So when we look at the ascendant, it's basically the sector of the sky, because essentially every sign has 30 degrees of the sky. So let's say you're an Aquarius rising. Let's say your Aquarius rising is at 19 degrees. When we see the little numbers in the chart, it's just saying it's like GPS coordinates. It's saying that's the particular arena of Aquarius that was rising in the east. And that sets the rest of your chart. That's why you have Aries in the third house, is because you have Aquarius in the first, because that's the rising sets the first house. Are you still with me? Does that make sense so far?
I am with you. I am.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So that essentially sets the chart. So from that rising, that portion of the sky that is rising, we set the first house, the life arena of self-identity, second house, money, so on and so forth. It sets these houses. The fundamental difference between Placidus and whole sign is that with whole sign, let's say it's 19 degrees Aquarius, that's where the essentially rising starts. That's where the first house starts. Essentially, in whole sign, we would just make the entire first house, which is self, which is identity, we would make that entirely ruled by Aquarius. So we just plop Aquarius entirely there, second house entirely Pisces, so on and so forth. It makes the entire. I get jealous of whole sign astrology because it truly makes it much simpler. So I do recommend for any astrology newbie where it's like, it's just too much, your brain is exploding, you're like, oh my gosh, take it step by step. Whole sign might be a little easier to work your mind around, at least at first, so that you can sort of dial in, okay, if Saturn's going to be in Pisces, that will be my second house. I don't have to look at the degrees, because here's the other version, the one that I use, and I use simply because I found it more accurate. If it was a perfect world, I would use whole sign because it makes things way easier. But in Placidus, what we do, so I said that let's say your rising is at 19 degrees. That's the exact portion of the sky that was rising in the east. So we would put the last portion of the Aquarius in the first house. So we would take 20 to 29 degrees Aquarius, because every degree goes 0 to 29. And then also some Pisces would come into your first house, because that's the next sign. So the fundamental difference of Placidus is that Placidus, you'll have more than one sign in a house. So let's say if you use Placidus, instead of Saturn and Pisces just being like neatly, okay, it's going to entirely be in my second house, like you might have some Pisces in your third house. So then you'll want to consider, okay, the first portion of this transit, so maybe for the first 2 years, I'll be dealing with second house themes, and the last half of this transit, I'll be dealing with third house themes. It makes it a little bit more complicated in that regard. I teach that way, study that way, because my mentor was that way. So I do feel like at times, like he always empowered me. He's like, use whatever house system aligns for you. But obviously I studied under that, so I was partial to it. I recommend looking at your chart in both ways. For me, my whole sign chart does not resonate. My whole sign transits does not resonate. Placidus, it does take a little bit more of calculation, but I'm telling you, like, the results, like, I find that it's more exact when I do my transit forecast around really being able to dial in, this will happen on this particular month or what have you. So that's why I utilize it. Again, the cool thing about astrology is that there's many different modalities. There's many different history when it comes to it. So I never say that one version of it is the best. I just highlight that's what's worked for me. So within my videos, I always give a little tutorial before I talk about every new moon, every full moon, every transit to show you how to find where it's impacting both in whole sign and Placidus, because it just wouldn't be integrity for me to teach a system that I don't personally like utilize, but I encourage you utilize whole sign if that works for you. Yeah.
And I will say the tutorial that you add into the videos, super, super helpful. Like, I know you do the screenshot and you kind of show how to count and find the things that it's something that I use when I watch your videos. And often I'll end up clicking the one that says likely Pisces ascendant instead of likely Aquarius ascendant, because every time, and I've noticed this, like every single video, when I look and I find where something is transiting, it's always aligned with the Pisces ascendant description of the transit versus the Aquarius ascendant description. And it has been accurate for myself. So thank you for that, for the tutorial, for the explanation. And yeah, I'm sure there are other ways of reading the chart as well besides those two, right?
Yes, there is actually a ton. There's Coach, I think is what it's called, K-O-C-H. There's equal houses. Like, there is a lot of different modalities. Yeah, there's a lot. So if you really wanted to, there's your draconic chart, which is essentially a karmic variation. There's the cool thing that I love about astrology is that there's always more to learn. Like, I remember I went to this conference and there was a woman there who had a Uranus return banner. And if you have Uranus return, like I said, Pluto return, we probably won't be alive. We'll be alive for our Uranus return, most likely. So Uranus return happens when you're 84. So this individual was 84 wearing her Uranus return little sash. And I had a chat with her and I was just like, you must know everything. She had been studying astrology since she was 19. And I was like, you must know everything. Oh my gosh. And she's like, honey, I'm just scratching the surface. I was like, oh my gosh. So yeah, there's always more to learn. So those aren't house systems that I've dove into simply because there's other arenas of my study that I'm investigating. But I really encourage you, if you notice your ascendant is at a later degree, like you're a 28 degree, you know, Leo rising or what have you, I really encourage you take a look at Placidus, because it might be different, both transits as well as house placements and what you're used to. And you might just find different value within it. So totally up to you, totally personal choice.
Yeah, amazing. Well, and I think that obviously your videos are a really great place for someone who is new to Placidus to kind of get that introduction, see if it resonates and kind of go from there. And, you know, it is like that experimentation, getting to learn. It is fun. So, and again, like you said, there's so much to dive into, but I know we're at time, but I do want to ask one more question before you wrap up. And I would love to know, what's one of your favorite facts about astrology?
Ooh, I love that. So a couple things. One thing is that when we think of our natal chart, we typically just think of it as us, like of our soul, which isn't not the case, but it also represents different people within our lives. So I just want to highlight that within your chart, the sun sign, house placement aspects, it represents not necessarily how our father or any sort of paternal energy was, but how it was we perceived them. And then our moon represents how it was that we perceived our mother or any sort of maternal energy within our life. Because moon is nurturing, nourishment. So it represents how it was that we kind of received that and how it is that we can sort of give that to ourselves within our world. And sun being ego and identity, it's how it is that we sort of like observed that energy and how it is that we kind of embodied it. So sun and moon represents how it was that we perceived our father, sun, and our mother, moon. So even looking at it by house can sort of represent what it was that you perceived about mom, or like how was it you were nurtured. So that's one thing. And then I want everybody, this might be a little advanced, but I swear for anybody who wants to find, when am I going to find my soulmate? What's my soulmate like? What is my spouse like? What have you? I want you to find your descendant ruler. Okay. It's going to be the sign opposite your ascendant. So let's say if you're a Leo ascendant, find Aquarius. If you're a, you know, Taurus ascendant, find Scorpio, what have you. It's not to say you literally have to find that sign. But you'd find the ruler of that sign. Stay with me. I know this is complicated. You'd find the ruler of where that planet's, that sign's plan, ruler, ruling planet is located within your chart. So I'm just going to give some examples. So let's say you are a Cancer ascendant. Opposite Cancer is Capricorn. So you would find, you could just Google, like we love a little Google, just Google what planet, love a Google, what planet rules Capricorn? And then you'll find, oh, Saturn. So then I want you to look at where Saturn is placed within your birth chart. Let's say you have Saturn within the third house in the sign Sagittarius. Your spouse might embody those energies. So with Saturn and Sagittarius, might be someone who is a traveler, worldly, perhaps not from here. With it in the third house, might be someone who's deeply like intellectual, a really strong communicator, so on and so forth. So it represents our spouse, really. It represents what it is that we're looking for others. So, and it's kind of fun when you're in a relationship to look at their chart and understand what it is that you are to them. It's also sort of interesting. So I do have a series on that. If that boggled anybody and you're like, what are you talking about? I do have a series around that. It's called Descendant is the part that I'm talking about. And it's just so fascinating because like third house is siblings. Like we can find people and how it was that we perceived people within our chart as well. So it's beyond just our own talent, our own gifts, which obviously we love and we love supporting, but we can also represent what it is that we're looking for within connections, sibling relationships, our perception of mom, our perception of dad. It's so much more than just us, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. Thank you so, so much for that. I have watched that series and I need to go back and like watch the one for Aquarius because I know mine is Leo descendant and I've done exactly what you said as well. So I'm going to go back and watch that and I will link the series. Do you have a playlist for that one that I could link in the show notes? Okay, perfect. I will link that down below because you explained it really beautifully and I know what you're talking about because I've done it, but I think it's helpful if you can like watch the video and slow it down and rewind and kind of like go through it at your own pace and you know, while you're looking at your chart as well. But thank you so much for that. And thank you so much for this conversation. This was absolutely amazing. I cannot wait for this one to go live because I feel like one, your energy is just infectious. It's amazing. It's radiant. The sun has, you know, left a little bit now, but you're still shining bright. You are still shining bright. So I love that. But before we wrap up our conversation, I would love to know where can we find you online and what kind of content do you post? How often do you post? Tell the people all the things.
Yes. So I post the most on YouTube. So I post twice a week, every beginning of the week. I used to post on Mondays. Now I post on Sundays. I do a weekly horoscope series. Some may watch it when they're doing laundry, but it's called Magic Monday. It's called Magic Monday. I take you through the week ahead's astrology and essentially co-creating with it. Because again, it's not, don't go outside. There's this bad stuff. It's just saying, hey, there might be like, you know, some people at work who are a little sassy to you, who like are sassy in the emails or what have you, like, you know, being mindful of those energies and co-creating with it. I call it Magic Monday because I do believe we can make these aspects magic if we co-create with them. And I find that's very validating. So it's really fun. I just chat in my little corner with a little cup of coffee and take you through the week. And then I always post an astrology education video on Fridays. I cover every single new and full moon. I break it down for every single sign, every single house. So like, for example, if it's, you know, a Aries new moon or what have you, and you're like, okay, but I know this is powerful for manifestation, but like what? Astrology can help you understand which areas of your life are the most fertile. So new moon and full moon forecast. So that's on my YouTube, Haley Common Astrology. I also, you know, share content on TikTok, Haley Common Astrology, Instagram, Haley Common Astrology. I have consultations where if you want to work with me one-on-one at HaleyCommonAstrology.com. And then my astrology course is Self-Care Astrology. Where you can learn not just astrology, but also how to care and keep for your blueprint. I'm really passionate about like, you know, understanding yourself and understanding like, okay, if I was like a plant, like how much do I need to water myself? Like what is the fertilizer I need? Like essentially just looking at your soul, not through the lens around, ugh, I wish I had a different sun sign or I had a different moon sign, but understanding, hey, I'm a Cancer moon. This is what emotional support looks like to me. How can I co-create a life that honors that? So I teach all of the astrology foundations, but also add in some self-care exercises to really like understand the care and keeping of your soul. So those are all of the ways that you can find me, reach me.
Amazing. Thank you. Well, everything will be linked in the show notes. Thank you so much again for having this beautiful conversation with me. This is amazing. And yeah, thank you for sharing your knowledge with all of us.
Thank you so much for having me. I love your podcast. I love the energy reports. I think your Mercury and Gemini shine so brightly. And I just feel so grateful that you thought of me and reached out.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.